We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all these words through Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 7, page 125 in the New Testament in the Greek manuscripts. What a way to start a birthday party.
What did you say?
Acts 7. Page 125. It'll be chapter 6. Well, no. If you read a chapter 6, it's explained about a guy named Stephen. Stephen was a waiter. They picked him to be a waiter. Can you imagine somebody volunteered you to clean up the house? But he was chosen. And guess what Stephen did?
What?
He believed. It doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. He believed that Jesus Christ was living inside of him. Is Jesus Christ limited? Not if we choose to believe. And Stephen climbed a tower. And within, it looks like a record time, he went before the religious people. Can you imagine going before a college professor and a president? Looking him right in the face? And reproving him? This is what a young guy named Stephen did. In chapter 7, verse 1, it's going to be a long read, so I'll try not to stumble, I'll try not to go too fast, try to stick to the script. Chapter, and here's what's happening. Stephen is full of the Ruach Kodesh, Holy Spirit. Just as these kids. Kids manifest just like this because they believe. Humans get so smart. If we don't understand, we don't do it. And Jesus Christ, when he would tell us, oh, ye of little faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, ye of little faith. If I told you to do it, do it. Speak in tongues, speak in tongues. I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. You can do all things. But here it is, here's Stephen, it's chapter 7, verse 1. And the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, hearken. Stephen is looking at the same people who murdered Jesus Christ. They tortured him to death for 3 days, ripping his skin off of him, beating him. Would that be scary?
Oh, my gosh.
They tortured him for 3 days, and then he died. What did he do? Jesus Christ just spoke the word. He healed people, and they murdered him, tortured him to death. So being crucified is to be tortured to death. And you want to die, but the Romans had a way. I think it was like Tim talked about Caligula. The way to make sure you live so you couldn't turn the pain off. You ever seen an animal in pain? Sometimes people put a bullet to the head or step on it so it's out of its pain. To be crucified meant you couldn't die if you wanted to. And this, so when Jesus Christ did give up the ghost, give up the spirit, they marvel. They go, nobody can give up. Nobody can choose to die. But he did. And so who is he talking to? These are the ones that just murdered his Lord and Savior. The God, he said, brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto them, get thee forth out of the land and from among the kindred, and come out to the land which unto thee I will point out. Then coming forth out of the land, Mom, would you read? Verse 4.
Then, coming forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, he dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land in which ye now dwell, and gave him no inheritance therein, not even a place to set his foot on, and yet promised to give it unto him in possession and unto his seed after him, when as yet he had not a child. But Yahweh spake thus, his seed shall be a sojourner in a foreign land, and they will bring it into bondage, and ill-treat it 400 years. And the nation unto which they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after these things shall they come forth and render divine service unto me in this place. And he gave unto him a covenant of circumcision. And thus he begat Isaac, and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob at the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, being jealous of Joseph, gave him up into Egypt. And God was with him and rescued him out of all his tribulations and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he appointed him governor over Egypt and all his house. And there came a famine upon all Egypt and Canaan and great tribulation. And our fathers could not... And our fathers could not find pasture. But Jacob, hearing there was corn in Egypt, sent off our fathers first, and the second time Joseph was made known unto his brethren, and the race of Joseph was made manifest unto Pharaoh. And Joseph, sending forth, called for Jacob his father and all his kindred, and all the kindred, consisting of 75 souls. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, and were brought over into Shechem, and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a price of silver, of the sons of Hamor in Shechem. Now, just as the time of the promise was drawing near, wherewith Yahweh had agreed with Abraham, the people grew and were multiplied in Egypt until there arose another sort of king over Egypt who had not known Joseph. The same, dealing craftily with our race, ill-treated our fathers so as to cause their babes to be exposed to the end they might not be suffered to live. In which season Moses was born and was exceedingly goodly, who was nourished up 3 months in the house of his father. But when he was exposed, the daughter of Pharaoh rescued him and nourished him for herself as a son. And so Moses was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in his words. And when there was being fulfilled unto him a period of 40 years, it came up on his heart to look after his brethren, the sons of Israel. And seeing one being wronged, he defended him and avenged him that was getting worn out, smiting the Egyptian. But he supposed his brethren would understand that Yahweh through his hand would give them deliverance, whereas they understood not. On the following day also he appeared unto them, and they were contending, and would have reconciled them in peace, saying, Man, ye are brothers, wherefore wrong ye one another? But he that was wronging his neighbor thrust him away, saying, Who hath appointed thee to be ruler and judge over us? Art thou wishing to kill me in the same way thou didst kill yesterday the Egyptian? And Moses fled at this saying, and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were fulfilled, there appeared unto him in the desert of Mount Sinai a messenger in a flame of fire in a bush. And Moses, seeing it, marveled at the sight, and as he was going near to observe, there came a voice of the Lord, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses, becoming terrified, durst not observe, and the Lord said unto him, Loose the sandals of thy feet, for the place wherein thou art standing is hallowed ground. I have indeed seen the ill treatment of my people that is in Egypt, and unto their groaning have I hearkened, and have come down to rescue them. Now, therefore, come, I will send thee into Egypt. The same Moses whom they had refused, saying, Who hath appointed thee to be ruler and judge? The same, both as ruler and redeemer, did Yahweh send by the hand of the messenger who had appeared unto him in the bush. The same led them forth, doing wonders and signs in Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the desert, 40 years. The same is the Moses that said unto the sons of Israel, A prophet unto you will Yahweh raise up from among your brethren, like unto me. The same is he that came to be in the assembly in the desert with the messenger who was speaking with him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers, he who welcomed living utterances to give unto us. Unto whom our fathers would not become obedient, but thrust him away and turned in their hearts unto Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods who shall go before us. For as for Moses who brought us forth out of Egypt, we know not what hath befallen them. How much further?
Keep going.
Him.
I can read. And so they fell to calf making in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idols, and rejoiced in the works of their hands. But Yahweh turned and delivered them unto be doing divine services unto the hosts of heaven, just as it was written in the book of the prophets, victims and sacrifices did you offer unto me. 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel. Nay, but ye took with you the tent of Moloch and the star of the god Raphan, the forms which ye made to bow down unto them. Therefore will I carry you away, Babylon. The tent of witness was with our fathers in the desert, according as he who was speaking unto Moses gave instructions to make it, according to the model which he had seen, which our fathers succeeded to also brought in with Yahushua when taking possession of the nations which Yahweh put out before our fathers into the days of David, who found favor before Yahweh and asked to find a habitation for Yahweh, for the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house, although indeed the Most High, not in handmade places, dwelleth, just as a prophet saith, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will ye build me, saith Yahweh? Or what shall be the place of my resting? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and in your ears. Well, okay, I'm going to try to stick to the script. As your fathers, ye also, verse 52. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? Ye that slew them who were declared beforehand concerning the coming of the righteous one, of whom now ye have become betrayers and murderers, who indeed received the law through ranks of messengers and guarded it not. And while they were hearing these things, they were being pierced in their hearts and began gnashing their teeth against him. But he, being already full of Ruach Kodesh, looking steadfast into heaven, saw the glory of Yahweh and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What's happening here is this history. Genesis 3:15. Adam and Eve get thrown out of the Garden of Eden because they chose to rebel. They chose death. And Yahweh said, I have a plan. The seed of the woman is going to come. He's going to fix all of this. This is the whole plan. Who's trying to kill Jesus Christ for the first 4,000 years? Who's the adversary? Because it says Jesus Christ is going to crush his head. So all the babies being murdered, it said that they were left to expose, including Moses. When you had a baby, they left it outside all night, a newborn baby outside all night. We knew it was going to happen by morning. It's going to be dead. They killed babies. What's going on with all these babies? They're trying to, Satan is using men and women to try to stop Jesus Christ from coming. Now, who's living inside Stephen? Jesus Christ. Now, for 4,000 years, Satan, the adversary, is trying to stop Jesus Christ from coming. And when he did get a hold of him, what did he think he did? Aha! I got him! But what happened 3 days and 3 days, or 3 nights and 3 days later? He got back up. Who killed Jesus Christ? The adversary did. Through religious men and women who acted like they were preachers and priests. After they killed him, what happened? Here's Stephen. And so here's Stephen, looks right at them. Who's inside Stephen? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ looking at? Satan. Look, it started with Abraham. You try to wipe out Abraham, you lost there. Then you try to get Moses, and by the time Moses is around, they forgot Yahweh's name, and you thought that you'd gotten me there. You didn't get me there. The son who was supposed to be coming for 4,000 years, trying to stop him. So through Moses, and Yahweh's name reappeared with Moses. Everybody lost your name. Then after Moses came Jacob and Israel. Then after Jacob, there was Joseph, and he tried to kill me there, and you lost there. Here's Stephen is talking to who?
You can't kill
Satan.
Jesus.
He's talking to Satan. For 4,000 years, you tried to kill me, and Stephen is looking at them straight in their eyes. And whose eyes is he looking at? The adversary. Because what does the adversary know? He's going to get his head crushed. So when Stephen, actually Jesus Christ and Yahweh, is speaking to the adversary, why are they getting so freaked out? Their death sentence. Tick tock. Somebody says, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe I'm an atheist. You can say, what sin do you not want to, what sin is it that you don't want to deal with? I don't believe there is a God. Now, everybody knows there's a God. I don't believe this whole Jesus thing. You say, you need to kneel now, you'll kneel later. Well, I don't like the way you said that. Satan is going to kneel before Jesus Christ. He doesn't like when you bring it up either. So what happens is they start covering their ears, gnashing their teeth. And what is Stephen doing? You think Stephen's doing a great job? Absolutely. He's going before the President of the United States saying, Barack Obama, we know you're in the hands and feet of our adversary Satan. And why you team up with Muslims and Islam and all the rest of these people, because you hate Jesus Christ. We're not distracted. We know what the fight is. You're the hand and feet of the adversary. How can you say that? You know a tree by its fruit, not by what it says. And so he was saying that we can look at people, and Stephen did that with the religious people. In verse 56, 55, but he, already being full of Ruach Kodesh, looking steadfast into heaven, saw the glory of Yahweh, and Yehoshua standing on the right hand of Yahweh. What happens next? Verse 56. And he said, who did the adversary think he killed?
Yehoshua.
Jesus Christ, right? Now what comes out of Stephen's mouth? Lo, I see the heavens open, and the man you thought you murdered, the Son of Man, standing on the right hand of Yahweh. He's alive. And crying with a loud voice, they held their ears. Do you think Satan wants to know that he's destroyed? Do you think Satan likes this? Thank you, Billy, for telling me this is Michael. In the book of Revelation, Michael's going to throw this guy, the adversary, out of the heavens. I didn't know that. So this is Revelation's out of, like, I think 11. So Billy explained the Catholics. And this is Michael throwing Satan out. It hasn't happened yet. He's going to. Do you think Satan likes to be reminded of this?
Uh-uh.
No, he doesn't. He probably covers his ears too. And when you prophesy, when you speak in tongues, can the adversary withhold that either?
Mm-mm. Satan.
He's going to cover his ears. If you get into a bad situation, you think somebody might be demonized, or you get into a bad situation, do what you do? You start talking about Jesus Christ, and guess what happens? It's like off. The adversary can't handle it. He can't. And guess what? Because every time he hears you speak in tongues or prophesy or me, he's reminded his future. He's going to be crushed. And that's going to happen. What happens is they cry with a loud voice, 57. They held their ears and rushed out with one accord upon him, and thrusting him forth out of the city, proceeded to stone him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Stephen shone, and they stoned Stephen, and he was invoking, saying, Lord Yehoshua, give welcome unto my Ruah. And kneeling down, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge against them this sin. And having said this, he fell asleep. What happened to Stephen? He was murdered. He died prematurely. What did he do wrong? He died. And then now verse 8, and Saul was taking pleasure with them in his death. If somebody died and it was justice and a murderer got put, do you think I'd want to? Would you want the murderer's clothes thrown down at your feet? Would you take? Do you take pleasure in somebody being put to death? You might be for justice, but this is really interesting that Saul was taking pleasure in Stephen being killed. Yikes. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? What did Stephen do? He's a good guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Spoke the truth.
He spoke the truth, and he dies. And here's Saul with Saul. Now we're going to learn about the rest of Saul. Chapter 9, 1 through 15. So how would you feel if somebody you love got murdered? What if he got murdered and then somebody was taking pleasure and somebody you love got murdered? How would you feel towards that person? Yeah, how would you feel? Yeah. Absolutely. How are you going to feel? And who are these Jews trying to kill? Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Shiach, Stephen took one on the chin for the boss. Chapter 9. But Saul, the guy who was taking pleasure in the death of Yehoshua, Stephen, yet breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Yahweh, going unto the high priest, asked from them the letters for Damascus and to the synagogue, to the end that if he find any who were on the way, neither men, whether men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Was Saul satisfied with the death of Stephen?
No.
He took pleasure in it. And now he goes, I want to throw people right into prison. Anybody who says Jesus Christ is the Messiah, I want a letter saying I can lock him up. How do you think Jesus Christ feels about this guy? What do you think what justice would be?
Death.
Yeah, so if somebody steals your $100, you have to pay $100. If somebody steals a life, we have to take a life. Whose life are we going to take? It's usually the murderer. That's called justice. Three, but as he was journeying, it came to pass that he was drawing near to Damascus, which is, by the way, the oldest city known to man, according to E.W. Bulmer, probably the oldest city there is. And suddenly there flashed around about him a light out of heaven, and falling to the earth, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why me art thou persecuting? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Yehoshua, whom thou art persecuting. But rise up and enter into the city, and it shall be told to thee what to do. But the men who were accompanying him stood speechless, hearing indeed the voice, but beholding no one. And Saul arose from the earth, and his eyes being opened, he could see nothing. And taking him by the hand, they led him into Damascus. Would somebody read 9? It's going to be an adult, because we're kind of going fast.
I'll read it.
Thank you. I'll keep reading.
And he was 3 days without seeing, and did neither eat nor drink. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus by name Ananias, and the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Lo, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Rise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and seek in the house of Judas one Saul by name of Tarsus. For lo, he is praying and hath seen a man in a vision, Ananias by name, coming in and laying on him his hands to the intent he should see.
Now what's going on? Ananias is praying. A wonderful man. How cool is it to have your name written in the book of life? And what does Yehoshua tell him to do? Saul, go heal him. What's up with that? The guy who took pleasure in Stephen's death, who's trying to lock up Christians like Barack Obama right now, trying to silence all the body of Christ. You want me to go heal him? Do you think Ananias is confused? Yeah, this is very confusing, isn't it, guys? Mm-hmm. That if you kids, we're going to flip back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament, so if you want to stay there, you can. What's up with Saul? What's going on here? Question mark. Let's ask the author what's up with Saul. How about that? Instead of us coming up with conclusions, ideas, what I believe, this is about a test, all of us studying the Word. Let's ask the author what's up with Saul. So you guys want to keep a finger here. Now we're I'm going to read verse chapter 9, verse 3 through 4. Let me see here. Okay. No. We'll turn to Exodus, page 104 in the Hebrew text. So the idea is, as soon as you read that, you go, wait a minute. Moses had a guy put to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. He was murdered. Not murdered, he was put to death. Excuse me, retract murder. That was loose lips. That was wrong. How about Achan with Joshua after Jericho? Here's Achan, took some of the devoted things. What happened to Achan and his family? They were stoned. Saul is taking pleasure in the murder of Stephen, and then he wants to lock up the rest of Jesus Christ's brothers and sisters in prison, and he's going to get healed? Does that make sense?
Isn't there some place in the Bible where Saul actually went to Ananias' house in the past and took some of his family? There's not one of those?
Not that I'm aware of. Huh. Okay, now we're turning to Exodus chapter 20. So we have a question here. So what the idea is, we go to the author. This is a complete book. Chapter 20. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to go back to chapter 9. And it said in Acts 9, stay in Exodus. When Saul was going to Damascus, suddenly there flashed a light as of heaven and falling to the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What do you think that was like? Let's take a look at another instance when Jesus Christ, Yehoshua's dad, was talking to some people audibly in front of everybody. You guys want to see what that was like?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think this was like when he fell off his horse, when he fell down? Exodus chapter 20, this is the Ten Commandments. They were given audibly before they were put into stones. And Yahweh said, I am Yahweh, you should not have any other gods beside me, don't make any images of me. Here's Yahweh speaking to them, the Ten Commandments. What was that like? Now we turn to Exodus chapter 20, 18 through 19. Melania, with all your heart. Page 104.
Okay. And all the people were witnessing the voices and the torches and the sound of the horn and the mountain smoking. So then the people were struck with awe and shrank back and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not Yahweh speak with us, lest we die.
How did Israel feel when Yahweh spoke directly to them? They thought they were going to die. Have you ever seen an animal? Some animals, they have so much stress, they will die. I used to capture animals, and a lot of them would die. A rabbit, if you try to catch them, sometimes there's so much stress, they die. These people, when they're hearing from Yahweh, they fell back. And they thought they're going to die. When Saul was going, how do you think Jesus Christ feels about Saul? This is going to be something like that. I bet you there's a thundering. Saul! Saul! Do you think he's happy with what happened to Stephen?
You're awesome.
How would you feel? And who killed Stephen? The adversary. And who is that? Who is Jesus Christ really addressing? The adversary. Because Saul is the hands and feet of the adversary going, And how was this? I believe it was a lot like Mount Sinai. When he followed, I said, Saul, what are you doing? Come on, man, what are you doing, man? No. Saul fell down, and Saul thinks he's going to die too. Why do you think he's going to die? Well, first of all, before the problem's addressed, look out with Israel. They didn't... Okay, now we'll turn back to Acts chapter 9. And Hannah, would you read chapter 9, verse 10 through 11?
Let's find it.
129.
And Nolan, right?
Acts 128.
You said chapter 9, verse what?
We're going to read Acts chapter 9, page 125.
128.
Well, I'll let you read the next part.
So I go to 128.
Oh, 128, sorry. It is 128, sorry.
And
chapter 9, verse 10. Would you read 10 to 11?
10 to 11. I can't find the 10. Oh, there
you're
it is.
Right there.
Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus by name Ananias, and the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Lo, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Rise, go into the street which is called Straight, and seek in the house of Judas one Saul by name of
Tarsus.
For lo, he is praying, and hath seen a man in a vision, Ananias by name, coming in and laying on him his hands to the intent he should see.
Wow. Saul gets sent. What does Saul know? The Hebrew scriptures?
Yep.
Yes.
There's nobody more well learned, as far as I know, in what should happen. Does Saul know that Yahweh loves justice? I heard somebody said after some of these Islamic killings that we shouldn't be doing what they would call revenge killings.
Mm-mm.
Justice is, if you killed my son, you die. You took a life, that life is at least worth it. If you took $100, you have to give me, actually, Jesus, Yahweh would say, if you took my $100, you owe $700. That's how Yahweh worked. That's called restitution, and it's a good return. Does Saul know what should happen to him now?
Mm-hmm.
This is a Mount Sinai. What should happen to Saul? Is Saul told what's going to happen to him?
Mm-hmm.
No. Saul doesn't know what's
supposed to happen. He knows the Old Testament.
But does he know what where he's being sent? He just knows which direction he's to go, and he's to be obeyed. 3 days and three nights, what's going on? Here's Saul. Does Saul know what's going to happen to him? Do you think he has a pretty good idea what's going to happen to him? Does Saul know what happened when the prophets were persecuted? How Yahweh felt about them? Does Saul know, or Saul know that Yahweh loves justice? And here's Saul for 3 days and three nights going, I was persecuting Yahweh when I thought that I was helping him. Have you ever been persecuted? Can you say Yahweh's name by Christians? They make fun of you? They're going to have to answer for that. And here's Saul going, I didn't know, or whatever. And so here's this whole thing. So what's going on?
Chapter 9, verse 9.
He was there for 3 days, three nights without eating or drinking. Did Jesus Christ tell Saul not to eat or drink?
No.
Not in the scriptures. What is Saul doing? Is it easy to go a day without food?
No.
How about 3 days without food?
Oh, gosh.
3 days without water. You guys ever wake up because you're thirsty in the middle of the night and need water?
Mm-hmm.
What is Saul doing here?
Fasting.
He's fasting. Now, what's going on here? You guys keep your finger here. If the adults want to turn to page 332, your kids, if you want to stay in Acts.
Are you talking about new or old?
Old Testament. 2 Samuel 3:32. Let me page 3:32. So what in the world is going on with Saul? So the neat thing is, you look at this and you go, what's going on? The idea is, study the author. Is this what's going on here? When you see something like Saul getting off the hook, my son came and looked at it, he went, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on with this guy? And we're talking about the my son, after watching Star Wars, he goes, Dad, do you know anybody who ever turned from the dark side of the Force to the light side of the Force? I go, yes, I do. I didn't know that quickly. I had to pray about it. And Yahweh goes, you want to know about the dark side of the Force and the light side of the Force? And at the end of Darth Vader, what does Darth Vader do? He kills the Lord of the Sith. And he gives his life to save his son. Darth Vader was evil, wicked. And so we're talking about this. And a whole other teaching came out of this teaching. Stuff I didn't even know. And that's why we're supposed to teach, to lead. As you go out and start teaching and leading, guess who's inside you? Jesus Christ will say, look at this, look at this, look at this. So what's happening with Saul right here? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11. King David, the man after God's own heart, a wonderful man. There's only one sin that Yahweh held him accountable for, or kept on the record. He saw another guy's wife. She was beautiful. So he steals her and has that guy murdered, and then he tries to hide this sin, and other people get murdered too, or die. This murder. That's what David did. Yeah, he's the king. At the man after God's own heart. Does David know what righteousness, what justice is? Does he know what his God is? Yes. Does he know what is just if you murder somebody? David, right before this, shows that he knows Yahweh's word, because he said he should, because he did this without pity, this man is worthy of death. Chapter 12, verse 11. Thus saith Yahweh, behold me. Now Yahweh starts speaking to King David. Behold me, raising up over thee calamity out of thine own house. And I will take thy wife before thine eyes, and will give unto thy neighbor, and he will lie with their wives in the eyes of the sun. For thou didst in secret, but I will do this thing before all of Israel and before the sons. Then David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. Then said Nathan unto David, Yahweh also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Nevertheless, because thou hast greatly blasphemed Yahweh by this thing, the very son that is born to thee shall die. That which you sow, you will reap. What happened? Now we're going to go back to here. Ananias. What's happening 3 days and three nights with Saul? I think Saul is having the same thing with King David. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard many things concerning... Verse 13, sorry. I've heard many things concerning this man, how many evil things the saints he had done in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the high priest to bind all of them that call upon thy name. But Yahushua said unto him, Be going thy way, a choice vessel unto me is this man, to bear my name before both the nations and the kings. Something. What happened with King David? What happened with Saul? You want to know what I believe? I believe that King David was going to die that day when Nathan showed up. Could Yahweh strike somebody with lightning or something? Somebody touched the Ark of the Covenant. What happened to him?
He didn't do anything.
Boom! Here comes the prophet. It would appear that Nathan's going to die compared going up to the King David. I believe, it's my speculation, David was going to die that day. But he didn't. Do you know why? He turned. His heart turned in a matter of seconds. I believe the same thing with Saul. It says that Yahweh doesn't look on a man's outward appearance. He looks upon the heart. For 3 days and three nights, what was going on in Saul's heart? And here's Saul. Saul and King David were hooked up to a polygraph test. I did that with somebody. I talked to them. They were saying all these blasphemous things. I don't think Jesus Christ would care who I vote for. I can vote for Barack Obama. I can do abortions. I can covet thy neighbor's enemy goods. I can do this. The 10th commandment says, covet not thy neighbor's goods. I can do that. I can do all these things. And I got to say, hey, if you're hooked up to a lie detector in front of a judge, would you be intimidated? They got real quiet. When you go before Jesus Christ, it's going to be a lie detector. You know that, right? Holy smokes. I believe that King David and Saul were hooked up to a polygraph test. And you know what happened? Their heart turned around. Something changed. Because we look back at another thing, chapter 9, verse 11 in Acts. When Jesus Christ goes to Ananias, what does he tell Ananias Saul is doing? Running for his life?
Praying.
Getting all his friends together to say, come defend me?
Nope.
What's he doing, Mel?
Praying.
What do you think Saul is praying? 1 John 1, 9.
Forgiveness.
1 John 1, 9 says, Yahweh says that if you confess your sins and you repent, he will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. You got to repent. But there is nothing without what is coming out of your mouth. I believe Saul and King David, they repented. That's what's up with Saul. And what happened was when Jesus Christ sends Ananias, it could have been, that before then Ananias was going to go there to kill him. Is Ananias the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Justice is Stephen's dead. Okay, here we go. Did Herod get killed? Yeah, Herod died. Remember King Herod? Worms ate him that day. Well, here's the whole thing. I believe that Saul turned. Jesus Christ looked upon his heart and something went pow, just like that. It says a lot about Nathan and Ananias, these two prophets. How much does Yahweh love those two prophets to go before these people who are going to kill them for the most part, and they were a part of a 180. Does that say what kind of God we have?
Amen.
It wasn't that there wasn't justice or Saul got let off. No, 3 days and three nights, Saul was as good as dead. And he repented. He turned. And he must have been on his knees crying. Not because he wanted to save his life, but he said, Yahweh, I really thought I was serving you. And we know that because it says later on, he goes, I'm least of the apostles. But I did so in ignorance. But he still had to turn. And I believe for 3 days and three nights, Saul is bawling his eyes out going, not trying to save his own skin, but saying, I was wrong. And I repent. And I turn. And just, what else do we know about things like this? About our God. About our Elohim, the God of the Hebrews, Yahweh. What do we know about? He loves righteousness, justice, loving kindness. Well, what does he look at? This thing right here. The first Saul did not turn around. First King Saul. The second Saul we have here, he did a 180. Just like that. And in chapter 22, actually, when Ananias, when he gets healed, he gets his eyes back. Do you know what happens to Saul? He receives Holy Spirit. Do you know what Saul would have done when he received Holy Spirit? He would have spoken a language he didn't even know. He heard about this. The Spirit has been given. What happened here, he said he was filled with the Holy Ruach Kodesh in this verse 17. And then verse 22, but Saul was the more gaining power and was confounding the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, showing by comparison that this is the Mashiach. The adversary is fooled again. What do we know about Yahweh? His Elohim, our Elohim. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. Hannah, there was a king. He was taller than everybody else. And Yahweh picked him to be a king. And then he turned from Yahweh and said, I'm not going to do what you say. There's a story about a father who sent one kid and said, go do my stuff. And he said, Father, I'll do whatever you want. He left. But he didn't do the work. He didn't do what he was told. Then a second kid, he said, son, go do this. He goes, Dad, I don't want to do it. He wrestled with his father. But he walked away and he did it. Who did the father's will?
The one who didn't want to.
The second one. So the first king Saul, he did not. He was anointed and he did not do Yahweh's will. Even though he said he would. And Yahweh told the prophet Samuel, goes, don't look at how tall they are, or how old they are, or how educated they are. Yahweh looks upon the heart, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And what we're witnessing here with Saul is the same thing we saw with Aaron and Miriam. How come Miriam got leprosy and Aaron did not? There's a lie detector. Yahweh's got a lie detector with all of our heart. And if we repent, we fall down and say, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And we have to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, we will be forgiven. How about Nineveh with Jonah?
Yeah.
Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days and 40 nights. They will be destroyed. What happened? Why didn't it happen? Nineveh turned. A lot of Christians believe that we're in a Christian union. And if we get enough votes, we'll tell Jesus Christ what Yahweh is, what we're going to do. We've got a lot of people here. You ever felt that way as a Christian? Well, he has to give me this stuff. Mm-hmm. Unions do that all the time. Like Boeing, we lost Boeing here in Wichita because the union started telling their bosses what they were going to do, what they're not going to do. How about Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar, for 7 years, what happened to him? He ate grass. He lived like an ox, but what happened after 7 years? His heart turned. It was a 180. Here's an example of who Jesus Christ is. And as we celebrate his birthday today, as we celebrate 4,000 years the adversary tried to kill this boy from coming and he lost, let us also celebrate their heart. Because when we see that they look upon our hearts and all we got to do, is, you have to say it. If you're not going to say what you did wrong, say with my son, he did something bad, he backtalked me. And then I said, you want to talk about it after 15 minutes? He goes, I'm sorry. I said, for what? You know what he said? You know. I said, look me in the eye. I said, for what? And he put his hand back down. He wasn't ready to say sorry. For what? He goes, Dad, I'm sorry I dishonored you. And I wrapped my arms around and said, you're forgiven. Before he said, I'm sorry, before he confessed his sin, You go to your room. There is no fellowship. And if somebody's living in sin and they say, I have no sin, but they live in darkness, you have no fellowship with the Father. But here's Jesus Christ and Yahweh on Jesus Christ's birthday to say, look at their heart. What kind of guy is this? And we can lead the way to say, you want to know some stories about who my Jesus Christ is? He was able to forgive the guy who murdered Stephen, one of his heroes.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? What a guy. We thank you, Father, for these teaching. We thank you for all the family members here. We thank you for all the finances and the time that have gone into this. We thank you for everybody who's been praying for us. We thank you, Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach. Show us how to make this birthday the best birthday ever. Show us how to put our heart right and to give you exactly what you want. We thank you for helping us to confront any sin in our life. And we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we thank you for these words. My sons and my daughters, know that I love you and I am so proud of you. And I wrap you up like a chicken would wrap up its hens or its chicks. I spread my wings over you and I protect you and I love you and I adore you. Sometimes you wander away, but I'm always there waiting for you to come back. Turn your heart back to me and I can heal anything and I can rebuild anything. So come together and let's work on this love relationship that you and I have together.